having you on the show, Coach Frank Martin of South Carolina. Coach Martin, how are things with you guys over in Columbia, man?
Oh, man, it's a little cold. It's a little cold, but it's that's the way it should be. Holidays right around the corner. We're right in the thick of basketball season, so it's that time of year.
Coach, you're in year 8 leading the Gamecocks. What do you say has been your greatest accomplishment in your time in South Carolina since you got there in 2012?
Man, I it's unbelievable that I remember my first meeting in the SEC, and I was a newbie. Now I'm the second longest tenured coach in the SEC. So, you know, I told Calipari, I'm trying to keep up with him. So it's I'm lucky, man. I'm in a great place. I work for great people. You know, in this crazy business that it's become. Anytime you can stay somewhere for 8 years, you're doing something right. And so I'm ecstatic about the fact that I keep doing this, and I'm ecstatic about where I work at.
And you have a great boss in Ray Tanner who understands who was a coach. It's good to have an 80 that used to be a coach and understands what a coach goes through as well. I think people really don't understand how having someone who knows the job you're in helps them understand what you go through when they make decisions about your program and whether to do X, Y, or Z for you guys, or if you ask for something, where it's coming from all at one time.
Absolutely. It's not that you have to be a coach to be a good AD. But the one thing that Ray understands is he understands the journey. He understands the emotional swings. And you know, it's not just with the way he manages me and our coaches. It's the way he manages the people that are around us. It's being able to keep everyone from donors to board members to people on campus to the media level-headed and understand that, you know, when we sign up for these seasons – we don't sign up for the good games. We don't sign up for the bad games. We sign up for all 31 games. And you know, we can't be in the emotional roller coaster where we live and die with every game. It's okay to be passionate. It's okay to be frustrated. But we need to understand that there's a whole season. And that's where Ray's tremendous. He helps us all manage that dynamic.
And, Coach, I know you guys are very motivated this offseason. You was fourth last year in the SEC, a tough conference. Being tied for fourth is a great job in that conference. So what did you guys prioritize in May, June, July, and August as you got ready for this 19-20 campaign, Coach?
Yeah, I mean, we knew we were going to be young at the guard spot. And so we spent a lot of time in trying to get those guys to understand our structure. But without – circumventing what I think is the most important part of my job is helping them improve. So we battled that a lot, and we got to a pretty good place. And now that it's real, we have a little, you know, we've had some ups and downs because of our youth. But at the same time, it's all part of it. We've got a great group. They're fun guys. They practice great. They care. Now we just have to go play and continue to deal with the lessons that the season teaches us all.
And with having a young group, Coach, having a great strength conditioning guy is really important with the nutritional values, the sports science piece of it, getting those guys stronger and faster, but also preventing the injuries because you want them to be healthy for you in January, February, and March when it comes down to tournament time in Nashville and beyond.
Absolutely. Scott Greenewalt, who's our strength coach, I believe is the best in the business in basketball. He and I have been together for 15 years. He was with Coach Huggins before that for 4 more years. So he's 19 years training basketball. And he's trained everyone from Kenyon Martin to the guys he's training right now for us. And he gets it. That's the biggest adjustment that freshmen go through is the commitment. They think that it's just about showing up on the court and shooting up hook shots and making threes. It's the commitment that you got to go through with learning how to eat, training in the weight room so your body continues to mature and stay strong, because the biggest problem that young players have is when they play college basketball for the first time is how competitive every practice is, not just 5 or 6 of the games. It's every practice, so their bodies break down. So they have to learn how to go in the weight room and train their bodies to keep themselves healthy. And that's all part of the growing process that every kid goes through.
And Coach, like you said, being 7-4 right now in non-conference play has to make you happy with you having a young team. So you're very prepared. You play some tough opponents coming up here. You got Virginia on Sunday. So how do you get your young men to, you know, not get too psyched up, come off a win against Clemson there, but get ready for this tough Virginia team and Coach Bennett, who does a great job every year?
Yeah, I mean, we've played some really good teams. I mean, Wichita State's really good. I think they just cracked the top 25. Houston's really good. Northern Iowa's the real deal. And then we've been able to win a couple road games with winning at UMass, who's like us. They're young, but they were undefeated at home when we went in there. Excuse me. And then, obviously, the Clemson game that we just played. So we got to trust in the experience of winning road games and comprehend that the opponent we're playing is the defending national champion and not be intimidated by it. On the contrary, be excited that we get that opportunity and away we go, and we'll see what happens.
You got that right, Coach. You know, I think having a young team, you get their minds focused on the task at hand. You know, a young guy, 18, 22 years old, their mind wanders. But to keep them focused in the moment, it's executing the game plan that you set forth for them and knowing that, hey, we have the talent to get the job done. They're just like us. They're another team like we are. We can beat those guys tonight.
No doubt. I read something a couple weeks ago because – I'm not a huge reader, but I'm always looking to figure out how to teach better. The bloom before it's doomed to bloom, and you can't force it to bloom faster than it's going to bloom. All you can do is keep putting water on it and be patient. And that's just like raising kids, just like coaching young people. You can't force their growth. You can't make them grow faster than they're prepared to grow. They're all different, and all we can do is keep feeding them information, keep believing in them, and allow that to happen as it may.
And Coach, you have a nice opportunity here after playing Virginia. You have a week off before you play Stetson, so a lot of opportunity to self-scout and help get those guys better in practice while they're on Christmas break as well, before you get ready for jumping the SEC gauntlet starting in January.
No doubt. We'll play this Virginia game, and then we're taking a four-day break so everybody can go home and enjoy their families, and which our players just deserve and need. And then we'll regroup on the 27th, and then we got to put our big boy pants on, because from that day forward, it's Stetson, and then here comes league play. And when league play gets here, it's 18 just unbelievably hard games.
And, Coach, you got a couple of guys on your roster from this area here, one from Marietta and Jalen McCreary. Can you tell us a little bit about this young man, where you see him fitting in on your team going forward?
Yeah, Jalen's going to be special. Jalen's, he improved a lot between his junior and senior year of high school. And he's going to be special. He's had some real good moments for us so far. He hasn't played as well as of late, but that's okay. That's part of the journey of a freshman. And he's going to be great. He's 6'7", 230 pounds. He's athletic. He's competitive. And here's the best part of it all. He's so humble, and all he wants to do is for people to help him be great. And he's willing to go do it whatever way he can. So I'm ecstatic that he's on our team.
And you got, Makai Henry from Decatur, Georgia as well, another grad transfer guy there. I know he means a lot to you. He'll help out for you guys. You're showing him showing your young men how to do it the right way.
Absolutely. You know, Makai is an unbelievable teammate. And I feel bad that the early part of the season hasn't gone the way he wanted to or I wanted it to. But he keeps working his tail off, and I believe that as the season wears on, he's going to help us win games. And he gives us a big, strong, low post presence that we need. And it's a matter of continuing to just like I was saying before, invest in him so he continues to understand how we play, and just go in there and eventually help us. We're excited about that.
And, Coach, I know you're out recruiting right now, Coach, but how important is recruiting in the Atlanta area, getting two young men from this area on your roster, and recruiting Georgia in general with us being neighboring states, Carolina and Georgia, coming over here and get talent to come play for you guys in the SEC?
Yeah, absolutely. Not only are we neighbors, but we're on that SEC footprint, so it's the belief and the love of the SEC and the want to play in the SEC. It's an opportunity that means a lot. And then with the last part of that is Georgia is just like South Carolina. It's very underrated in the coaching that takes place at the grassroots level in those two states. Kids are prepared to play. Kids are ultra competitive. And we as states, we both get overshadowed sometimes because of football. But these kids love to play basketball, and it's an awesome thing.
A couple more for you, Coach. Here, how healthy you are for your assistant Matt Figger, who's doing a great job by Austin Peay. I think Figs is a great coach, a tough, hard nosed guy, man, doing a great job up there at Austin Peay.
He's doing great. I couldn't be prouder. I called him last year, middle of the season, and I said I promised myself I wasn't gonna say this, but I got to. He said what? I said I miss you. He started laughing. It's we were together for so long, and he's so good at what he does that I'm not surprised that he's having the success that he's had at Austin Peay. He's got a young team. He's got three returning really good players. Then he's got a bunch of first-year guys. And the schedule that they've played to be 5-5 right now, that means he's done an incredible job.
You got that right, Coach. He's a heck of a guy, a great person. I love spending time with Matt when I'm up in Nashville. That's what I got for you, Coach, Chris Silva. The Miami Heat, he's been playing well. I know they want him to be up on the big roster a little bit more than he is, but talk about how did this young man, Chris, develop his game, and now he's turning himself into a steady pro here real soon.
I'm so happy for him. I just pray that he stays healthy. I'm not surprised because of his character and his work ethic. That he's been able to find success at an early stage. I'm also happy that he's with an organization like the Miami Heat that values who he is and what he's about. Because some organizations just want the finished product. The Miami Heat loves guys with work ethic that can improve and grow, and that's what he's going to do. I couldn't be happier. I was disappointed that no one was willing to draft him just because, those kids want to get drafted. It gives them that moment to reward them for all the work that they've put in, and he didn't. But at the end of the day, getting drafted, having a long NBA career, I think he'll take the long NBA career, and he's on his way to do that.
Well, Coach, I will see you the 7th of March at Vanderbilt for sure, and I'll see you at the tournament as well, Coach. Best of luck to you all. I hope you guys stay healthy, and I hope you have a great year as always, Coach Martin.
You got it, my brother. Always good talking to you.
Yes, indeed. Folks, it's Frank Martin here on The Boston Show.
For all your photo, video, and voiceover needs, check out the fine folks at Blu-ray Productions. They will take good care of you. If you don't believe me, you can see for yourself. Check out their work at blueberryproductions.tv, the Facebook page, Blueberry Productions, also a Vimeo page, a YouTube page, and it's Blueberry, BLUBERRY, Prod on Twitter. Check them out today. Blueberry Productions, great people, great work, great service.
Hey there, your yard took a real beating this summer. Luckily, Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard has your back. Just feed your grass with Scott's again this fall when the air is cool and the soil is warm. It's the perfect time to give your lawn a boost. If you do, Winter Guard will give your yard the nourishment it needs to help weak, thin grass recover and support root growth, giving you a greener, more resilient lawn both now and next spring. Guaranteed. Grab a bag of Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard today. You'll be back to barbecuing in no time. This is a Scott's Yard.
Hey, parents. We all try to be extra careful with our children in the car, but then we get an important call or text. Remember, our children are watching. Make every drive a good example. Be in the zone. Turn off your phone. Visit childrenshospital.vanderbilt.org/BITZ to learn more about our Teen Driver Safety Program. Brought to you by Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt, the Ford Motor Company Fund, and the Allstate Foundation.
Hello, my name is Travis Williams, President and CEO of Academics and Athletic Consulting, focusing on educating and empowering tomorrow's collegiate athletic leaders. My passion is for the education and genuine concern and care for today's student athlete. It's the centerpiece of my life's work. A college education, both in and out of the classroom, is a truly rewarding benefit. For more information on AAC, you can go to www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Once again, www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Or you can follow me on Facebook at Academics and Athletic Consulting, or Twitter at Coach TWill24, or Instagram Travis L. Williams 24. Or you can call me at 404-542-6079. Once again, AAC is very proud to partner with J.R. McHenry of the Boss Man Radio Show, covering sports and entertainment across the country. Please tune in weekly for informative, entertaining, and expert analysis on today's sports and entertainment topics. Thank you.
Folks, back on the Boss Man Show. I talked to my buddy down in Memphis, Phil Dean, covers the Grizzlies for Fox Sports Southeast. Phil, man, how are things in the 901, brother? Miss you, man.
Everything's great in the 901, Boss Man. Thanks for having me on, as always. Good to hear
yes,
from you.
Yes, indeed. Hey, man, the Grizz are 10-14 as we speak. You know, they're rebuilding, as we and you both know. So how would you say the Grizzlies' first third of the season has been going so far, 10-14, with Ja Morant being hurt for a while and JV being hurt as well?
It seems right now that they're starting to build. They're starting to find their character right now with the rotation, with their lineups of guys like Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson and Brandon Clark right now. I think there's still a little touches they're trying to figure out on the starting front. But whenever Ja Morant is on, I mean, they're going to win games. And you can see right now that he is truly a rookie of the year candidate. I mean, he's the front runner right now. I don't care what, whenever Zion gets back. I mean, it's John's rookie of the year to lose right now. But with the way that he's been playing, even though last night they blew a 24-point lead against the Thunder, Jacobs is still trying to figure out his type of rotation right now with this unit and see what he feels like is best for this team. And I think one of the key factors I feel like right now would be for Jaren Jackson. He needs to stay. If he stays out of foul trouble, I mean, they have potential to win a lot of games in the next couple of years.
You got that right. And I feel like, you know, the Grizz have some just three young studs in Ja, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Dylan Brooks. I mean, these young men are going to be leading this franchise for years to come, becoming the Mike, Tony Allen, Zach Randolph of the future for you guys, in my opinion.
Absolutely. You'd have to throw in Brandon Clark in there as well with the way that he's been playing right now. I feel like he will be on the first rookie all team this year. I mean, there's going to be a chance. I could see him playing in the rookie, and he'll be playing All-Star Weekend for the rookies for the U.S. versus international team. But Brandon Clark has been a major factor for this team as well with the way I just love his style of play right now. I mean, he attacks the rim, and he's not afraid to go to the rim. He's not afraid to make jump shots. I mean, a lot of guys now, they just want to go for the three ball. He has no problem with that. And he's got a three-point game as well. It's not great, but, I mean, it's something he's going to build on in the next few years to come.
Yes, indeed. Like you said, I feel like this brother, to me, he just fits Memphis. The grit and grind, the blue-collar town of Memphis. This guy right here, Clark, to me, fits what the city of Memphis wants to see in one of their players.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and I think as well, you signed Jonas Valanciunas in the offseason, and I feel like he's one of the bigger factors for this team. He's a guy that if you're in a struggle, if you're down 10, if there's a run going on,
if he can get you buckets, he can get you buckets and stop the runs. Just throw it in the he's right there in the paint for you. He will find a way to get baskets for this team.
You got that right. And how was the Grayson Allen experiment working? I know y'all guys took a flyer on him in the Mike Conley trade. He was a kind of throw in that deal to see what he has left. For how's he fitting in Memphis? I know he's played 13 games. He's, you know, averaging about 8 points a game when he plays. But what have you seen him every day? Or what are you seeing how he fits in his roster? Does he have a future in Memphis beyond this year?
It's quite tough with the, he's had two ankle injuries lately with Grayson, and it's, there's been flashes of him that where he could be a major role player for this team, and then he's had games where he'll have 6 points, and you just like, well, that's what we got out of him. I mean, we'll find a way to trade him, but like his last game he played before he got injured was against the Warriors, and that was probably his best game ever. Like right before he sprained his ankle, and where he had 17 points. He was starting to find a groove recently, and just in the past three games, and then all of a sudden, his ankle he sprains his other ankle, and so I think that he's getting. There's still, once he gets back into the rotation, he's going to have to earn a way to get back in, because with guys that are playing right now, they're doing really well with D'Anthony Melton, and then in Solomon Hill right now. So he's going to have to find a way to earn his way back into the rotation.
Now, Phil, Solomon Hill playing shocks me, because I thought he was a throw-in in that trade from Atlanta with Chandler Parsons. It's a throw-in. I didn't think he'd actually play. You know, so I'm shocked to see him playing. He's played 26 games for you guys, and he started the game, and I'm shocked that he's playing 20 minutes a night, knowing that he was a throw-in in a trade to make the money match.
I was shocked as well. I'm shocked that he's been playing well these past couple of games, and he's earned it. I mean, he's been a veteran. He's been a good veteran guy for this team. He can shoot the three ball. And last night he probably played too many minutes. He played nearly 30 minutes against Golden State, and he played most of the fourth quarter. He played 10 minutes in the fourth quarter when Jaren Jackson only played two. That's all on Taylor Jenkins for doing something that idiotic, in my opinion. But I'm a Solomon Hill fan right now, but I don't want to see him playing no more than 12 to 15 minutes per game right now.
You got that right. And, you know, I'm shocked that Jay Crowder leads you all in minutes played 31 minutes tonight. I thought it would be maybe a Ja Morant or Jaren Jackson. But Taylor Jenkins doing what Coach Bud does. He tries to limit minutes around 30 minutes a night for everybody. But at one point, you have to let guys play, if in my opinion. You know, they're young. You know, they're your future. I know you want to save their legs and, you know, keep them healthy. But people want to see those guys play. And I think, you know, those runs that sometimes you guys give up could be stymied if he played those guys more, a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you will see that more after that loss last night to the Thunder. I think you will see that more. I think that was a wake-up call for them, that like you have to find ways to get Ja and Jaren in the game at the same time in the fourth quarter, and that includes Brandon Clark as well and Dylan Brooks. And when any of those guys are on, I mean, they can do some serious damage. When Dylan Brooks is on, they're going to do some serious damage. So but the fourth quarter lately, I've been calling it Ja time, because he's been averaging at least over 8 points a game in the fourth quarter alone. So when Ja is going off in the fourth quarter, then the Grizzlies have a very good chance to win.
Exactly. You know, and that's what I feel like sometimes, Phil, you know this as well as I do. Sometimes coaches, you know, get in their own way. I feel like Taylor is, in my opinion, from afar, he's trying to do the Coach Bud thing. And, you know, that works in Atlanta to a degree. But it made people upset. Because, you know, Coach Bud go with the hot hand. So sometimes he would go with Dion Schroeder because he was hot over Jeff Teague. Or he would go with whoever over whoever because they're hot. And it would cost us some games or cost leads, having to call another timeout in the fourth quarter beyond the mandatory timeout. And I feel like Taylor right now is trying to be Bud too much. I know a lot of people in Memphis may not understand that because they're not used to the guy. But from what I see from afar, I see the same stuff I saw in Atlanta from Bud. And I'm scared that he's going to do that stuff in Memphis and call some games that he shouldn't call, like last night's game, doing that play the hot hand stuff rather than going with a set rotation no matter what.
Right. I think we noticed that last night with Solomon Hill. He played 29 minutes last night against the Thunder. In no way or circumstance should Solomon Hill be playing 29 minutes in a game ever unless he's got 50 points in that time span. The buzz around Memphis right now is that they're very upset about that loss last night because of Solomon Hill playing 29 minutes and Jaren Jackson only playing 2 minutes in the fourth quarter, even though Jaren was in foul trouble. But Jaren has been extremely helpful from the three-point line, and he can get you buckets, but it's just everyone was upset about that. And even though Jaren has had foul issues, you have to put him in the game in the fourth quarter no matter what.
And I'll tell you, that's also a Coach Bud thing. He hasn't played you with foul trouble. He's good for not doing that. I saw with Al Horford too many times where he wouldn't play the guy because of fouls, even though he can protect himself. So I'm just, for my fans in Memphis, if you want to know what the Grizzlies are being caught and being coached, look at the Milwaukee Bucks or remember the old Hawks with the Budenholzer. I'm just telling you who you are. That's what's going on in Memphis right now. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news. It's up and down at best, you know? Like, I've seen this movie before, and I'm like, I think to myself, I've seen this before. This is the same movie I saw in Atlanta all these years. The same thing. And I was hoping Taylor would be his own man, Phil. I was hoping he'd be his own guy. But I feel like he's trying to perfect the Bud system. Do your own thing, man. Please.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny, when you watch Milwaukee, he's doing the same stuff there that he was doing in Atlanta right now. He's got a superstar in Giannis Antetokounmpo right now that he'll play for 40 minutes no matter what, and he'll win them games.
Yeah, and you know what's good? The difference about that, Phil, is that it hasn't changed. Him losing 4 in a row in the playoffs because he lost 4 in a row to the Raptors, 4 in a row to the Cavs twice when the Hawks are tanking. Bud is not making adjustments. It's Bud's way or no way. And that's the problem. Right. Taylor, I see what Taylor is saying. Because, see, they come from the Pop tree, but Pop makes adjustments. But Bud does not make adjustments.
Yeah.
It's whatever the game plan is, we're gonna be better at that than you are. You know, whatever it is. So, yeah, man, I feel for you guys right now in Memphis because I see the same thing I saw for years in Atlanta, man. But I'm pretty sure the ticket sales have been going up with the FedEx Forum now, with Ja and Jaren, Jad and Dylan playing well, and Clark as well. So I'm pretty sure the people are excited about this young team, even though the record maybe not what y'all want to be right now, but I'm pretty sure the fans are very excited about the future in Memphis.
Oh, absolutely. You can tell right now that fans are coming to see Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson. They're not going to win. I mean, they're not going to win a lot of games this year, but fans are coming to see what these kids are doing, especially with Ja. I mean, the way he has just been, he's been a human highlight reel right now with all these monster dunks right now and all these spectacular passes right now. I mean, people are coming to the games to see him. I had a discussion with this with another media member when the Bucks came in town last week, how, if you told me like 6 years ago, you would never see a Bucks jersey walking around FedEx Forum. And now, last week when Giannis came in town, they were all over the place. And that's something people were hoping we get from Ja Morant. Like, people are going to be coming all over to see him. And there's been, we've been getting Murray State fans all over the past couple of road games there to see Ja. Murray State alumni are coming to see Ja. This kid is just something special. And I'm sure, and that's how it's going to be as well with Trae Young. I mean, people are going to be going to games just to see what he can do.
Yes, indeed. I can't wait to see you guys March 2nd in Atlanta. Then I'll come there over there on March 7th and see you guys after we go to D.C. to see the Wizards on the 6th there in March. So I'm looking forward to coming to Memphis because I feel my skills this year, man. It doesn't, you know, having a girlfriend and, you know, and having to work and trying to get to Memphis doesn't work anymore. It's like coming the Hawks come now, which is not fun. I love Memphis, but having a girlfriend and having the work is not the way like I used to be, being a single man anymore. You know, you got the priorities now.
Absolutely, you got priorities, man.
Yeah, so man, hey, Phil, look, at least you guys have won 10 games. I don't know when the Hawks win that 10th game. Maybe in February, who knows? At this point, I don't know.
It's coming. Maybe you get. Hey, are you guys? It seems like Atlanta's trying to go after James Wiseman right now. Now that he's declaring leaving University of Memphis and getting ready for the NBA draft.
Yeah,
so maybe the Hawks are looking at James Wiseman right now.
We need him. When your center is Damian Jones and Alex Lynn, Bruno Fernando, oh my lord, you do need a center that's 7'1" and can do some things. So yeah, you know, the good thing about the John Collins suspension for HGH is that hey, we can tank again and do it the good way, tanking. But you know, it's not fun right now. But hey, if we get James Wiseman, I'll be very happy. You know, maybe we'll be good in 2023. Maybe, who knows? I can't even recall. We'll be good again.
Maybe one day we'll see a Hawks versus Grizzlies NBA Finals.
I would like that. I would like that a lot. That'll be very fun. Now, this the problem would be will the Hawks fans cheer for the Grizzlies or cheer for the Hawks? That's what we're
going
for.
Oh, yeah.
The bandwagon fans here is something else, man. I'm telling you. But yes, buddy. How you feel?
I tell you, Stern.
I tell you what, man. I'd rather be you all than us right now. I'll tell you that right now. I will tell you that I'd rather be you all than us. You know, because we got internal turmoil right here at the Hawks right now, unfortunately. And we have Chandler Parsons, which is another thing. You know, he's playing.
I totally understand that frustration. You just got one more year left on that contract, and then everything will be okay.
Think about this. Think about who does not play. Chandler Parsons, $25 million. Evan Turner, $19 million. Allen Crabbe, $18 million. You know, that is how much money? $62 million in bench players who don't even play. And on our salary cap, they don't even play. You know, so.
That's absurd.
Yes. Turner, Crabbe, and Parsons do not play. That's our cap. They're our cap who don't even play a game. But yes, man, we're Phil. Man, look forward to seeing you in March, brother. I have a happy holidays, you and your wife, man. And enjoy the doggies, man. And I know you guys will have a great time. And I'll see you guys in March for sure, buddy.
Absolutely. Happy holidays, boss man. I'll see you soon.
All right, buddy. Thank you as always.
I always appreciate it.
All right. This is Phil Dean here on the Boss Man Show.
It's maybe the night that my dreams might let me know. All the stars are closer. All the stars are closer.
Tell me what you going to do to me. Confrontation ain't nothing new to me. You could bring a bullet, bring a sword, bring a morgue, but you can't bring the truth to me.
Alexa, play Kendrick Lamar and SZA.
Okay.
Maybe the night that my dreams might let me know. All the stars are closer.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Folks, back on the Boss Man Show. Last segment of the year. I've been teasing a mystery guest that will be joining you for the last segment of the year. I've been teasing it all week. And this guest is someone who's very much concerned to a certain listener of this show who likes to text me all the time now that we're separated from one another. This individual is a coach in Wisconsin with a goofy beard, okay, who he's trying to emulate his mentor, who's also a coach. So, this guest I'm about to bring on for the Boss Report is a guest that this individual likes to clown, and he alleges that I, quote, fired him, and I have never fired them. They are my friend. They're my brother, but according to this loser coach who got indirectly swept by an illegal defense, allegedly, that he got fired. So, without further ado, I bring on that mystery guest. I reveal to him is my main man, Tony T-Bone Williams. Bone, what is up? And feel free to respond to that certain coach in Wisconsin who's always worrying about your whereabouts and your employment status here on the Boss Man Show.
Hey, Boss Man, thank you for having me, and thank you for rehiring me. Rehire me, and also to rehire me, and also give me that bonus you that got for me, that Christmas bonus. So I want to thank Coach Bud for his pettiness for bringing me back. It's good to be here. I mean, it's just so funny that this guy is like 25-4. He's worried about little me here in Jersey. I was a little salty considering that I'm 2-0 in the conference finals, and then got swept out by an illegal, quote unquote, illegal defense. So I'd be a little salty.
Exactly.
But I gotta say though, it's good to be back, man. Because all seriousness, it's been a while. You know, our schedules haven't crossed really. So, but it's good to make some time today.
Yes, indeed. Good to have you on last segment of the year. And that's always good to, you know, undercut that coach in Milwaukee who likes to. Who's? I think he's our number one fan, Bone. I think he is.
I told you he must be. He sounds like a very a scorned lover. Born ex-girlfriend, and he had the reactions of a certain guy that lives in D.C. So it's just funny to see how much he is bothered by your success, how much he is bothered by our tandem.
Exactly, and I will see him next Friday in Atlanta on the 27th. I will see him in the flesh once more. Well, he can't have me banned from State Farm Arena. He can't have me banned from there, thank God.
He is as delusional as the Orange Man, so he'll try to get you banned on your home floor to try and lobby against you on your home ground.
Exactly. Only those people like the Orange Man and Mr. Beard would do that to you. But, Bone, close the year out, right? We have to do a all-Florida boss report to close the year out because that's a close of classics. And Bone, I have to start you off with a story that we know happens a lot in Florida. You know? And it's very sad. Because we have this. A Florida man was arrested, Bone, because, get, you know what he did? He chopped off his own Johnson, Bone, because he could not get Percocet, Waffle House, and the clerk to give him some fellatio.
I always love these stories, how these guys, they cut off their own stuff just to fight someone else. Like, that's not going to bother me. It's going to bother you a whole lot more because you don't have any stuff anymore. So why are you going to cut off your own stuff to fight me? That makes no sense.
Yeah, over a Percocet, Waffle House, and not getting no top. Really?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it won't hurt me. It hurt you a lot more hurt me. So I don't get.
Exactly. And this is a Florida man special. Florida man arrested after recovering 2 grams of drugs and 250 from a man who OD'd and died. He sent out a press release and said, quote, police, I conducted a drug bust. He got arrested for it.
Sound like fortunate opportunist right there.
Yes. Yeah, and he got, like my man, just take your bounty and run. You stitched on yourself.
Yeah, he really did. It's unfortunate. He tried to capitalize and it kept biting him back in the butt later on.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. This story is just deplorable at best. Confused over National Hard Candy Day, Bone. Florida man's arrested after exposing himself to cheerleaders passing out candy canes at the Christmas party.
I gotta be that because, first of all, why is every day a national day or something? It's like National Chocolate Day or National Candy Day.
are national locker draws day. Like, why is every day a national day on Jordan?
I don't get either. It, to me, it's very stupid. I don't understand it.
Well, I have another one. I have another day. National Get Out Coach Day by Illegal Defense.
Exactly.
Is that a day?
It should be. National Grow a Beard Day to look like my mentor day.
National Losing 0-2 Lead Day. I think that rings.
Yes, it does. National Text Bossman Every Morning Day. You know, idiot.
National, I have an MVP, but he is locked up by the claw day. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And National, I hate nerd day. National, I don't make adjustments at all day. How about that?
Yeah. National, I coach day by a janky defense.
Exactly. A janky defense. I do. Really? You got beat by boxing one, sir.
Yeah, that's Steph Curry said. Janky defense beat up.
Yeah, God. Woo-wee. Goodness gracious. Don't you love having Bone back, Lister? Don't you love it? He's back to getting your skin.
I'm gonna go on a shopping spree and thank the Bud for lobbying for me to get this bonus.
Yes, Christmas time in Jersey gonna be happy this year, man. Look at here, and this is something that Mr. Bud might like. Florida man arrested by cops for not pulling over while racing to have sex with two of his girlfriends.
So he trying to have sex in the car, driving?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What is happening? I really can't be mad at that. It's a lot better than hearing about stories of guys trying to come up their own junk. So this dude trying to get it in, you know what? I can't blame him for being in a hurry.
Well, the junk is coming, Bone. It's going to break you down. Florida man arrested for cutting off not only his junk, but his boss's junk at the Aventura Mall in the Miami area because he didn't get a raise for the new year.
Well, you know what? Even if he got a raise, he get that money now to buy new junk. So it makes sense to do all that. And I want to know, what is his sequence? Is he cutting off his own junk as a boss and then cutting the boss's too? Junk first and his own junk. I don't understand.
Yeah, he took his out, then he took the boss's out.
So the boss watched him pick his own junk. Now, if you pick up their own junk, you know they're crazy. So why are you spending the opportunity to get back at you?
Exactly. Like, I would be running away or doing something to save my own.
Yeah, these dudes are crazy tough because they pick their own junk and then go get your boss's junk. You must have some kind of super strength. I don't know. Like I said, what's the point of doing all that because you didn't get your bonus? Like, now, you know what? You need that extra money to buy some new junk.
And why is it in my home state they're doing this? I'm serious with you. When I was growing up in Orlando, I had no idea why this was going on in my state. No deal.
Yeah.
I've never had the thought to cut off my own junk. Never in my life.
Yeah, you know how in the olden times where Australia was born, they put all the convicts on Australia, and that's how Australia was made. Parts of Florida, just put them all on an island somewhere and have them restart themselves.
Exactly. And this story is even weirder. Florida man crashes his pickup through airports at 3 a.m. naked, speeds down its flight line, crashes into baggage claim, causes internal damage, then takes a dump on the conveyor belt.
That sounds like a good Saturday night in Florida. My man had hit all the boxes. He was buck naked. He was in a pickup truck. He took a dump. I mean, that sounded like a normal night in Florida that got out of there. Maybe got a hand.
Oh, yeah. This is my state never ceases to amaze me. Never ceases to amaze me. My state never ceases to amaze me. And Florida man sentenced to 6 years in prison after waging an 18-month cyber-stalking campaign against schoolmate who wrote essay about him and wouldn't give him none at the class reunion.
How old is this kid?
This guy is 47 years old.
Oh, my God. He's cyber-stalked for how long?
18 months.
Now, after rejection for 18 months, I mean, you got to move on, boss. Why are you on one when you just go out and find other options? I mean, that's...
Yeah. That one... make no sense to me at all, phone. And, oh my God, here we go. Florida man arrested after saying he was so scared after he watched a train hit his vehicle, he pulled 2 bottles of liquor from the wreckage and drank them at the crash scene.
Opportunist. He saw the liquor sitting there and he said, you know, why go to waste?
Exactly. Why not? You're in Florida. Why not?
I guess that's probably our normal Tuesday night in Florida.
Yes, indeed. And, okay, here we go. Florida man in a fight, get this bone, gets stoned off of balcony naked, jumps onto a moving vehicle, then carjacks another vehicle, gets chased by the cops, hits a cop, gets shot at by the cop, and finally is apprehended after a foot chase naked with no major injuries.
That sounds like if you combine like Mission Impossible with porn and you have yourself a great chase scene, that's how much that you would see. But I want to know, the arresting officer, anytime there's a dude butt naked, the arresting officer, who, like, is it like head or tails or like rock, paper, scissors? Like, who decides to tackle that they can do and cuff him? Because I know I don't want that gig. So I want to know who decides who gets what.
I bet you the rookie has to do it. Or the
oh, yeah.
Or the senior has to do it, probably.
Yeah, good. It's probably a rookie if I'm a veteran, I'm not tackling some dude. He's all hairy and swirly and decked.
It's not happening. Florida man arrested after pulling a bicycle burner and shoot himself in the leg while playing Old Town Road.
Yeah. So, what was he doing? Like, was he like square dancing?
He was doing take my horse to the Old Town Road. Pow! Pow, pow! My leg is gone.
Oh. He needs to call Plaques to see how he got this. He's lucky that a Florida open carry. Because we all know what happened in Plaques. It was in New York, and New York is not played with the open carry stuff. So lucky that he's right at home in Florida. Like, just another normal one night in Florida.
Well, Florida man arrested after losing his police Bentley after he put lights on it and sirens on it to pull people over for money and sex.
So he impersonated a cop?
Yes.
Wow.
What a Bentley police car.
He used his fake power for money and sex?
Mm-hmm.
But that is like, it's almost so crazy it's not even funny. That's just how dangerous to try to be out there on the road and impersonate a cop and to use that to gain some sex. Like, how hard is it to get sex in Florida like that? These guys are trying all kinds of stuff.
It shouldn't be hard at all.
Yeah.
It's a tourist state.
Yeah, it can't be that hard to get one time.
Hey, come on. Like,
I mean, even Robert Kraft found some love down in Jacksonville. I mean, there's always love to find in Florida.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness. And here we go. Florida couple arrested after being caught having sex in Party City fitting rooms. Really?
That is so party, man. Party City is popping, I guess, down there. I mean, the one I go to is real lame and messy. So this one sounds really popping.
I didn't know they had fitting rooms in Party City. I didn't know they had fitting rooms in Party City. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah.
That was news to me right there. Like, what?
That's a good point. That's a good point. You're right, because I guess it's costumes they did try on and stuff. But I don't remember ever seeing a fitting room up here at Party City. You're right. So that would be a Florida thing. And again, they
goodness.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Florida couple arrested after being caught using toys in the Walmart toy section for instrument sex on the aisle, which was consists of the woman sticking toys up the male's rectum and him sticking stuff up her rectum.
Oh, my God. That
a toy? Yeah, the Walmart toy section for the couple.
Oh, of course, Walmart. Like I kind of know like what kind of toy? Is it like a WWE superstar toy? Like what kind of toys are they working with? And I really don't want to know this. Curious, how big is the rectum of these people? Well, there's some toy stuff there.
Yeah, and I'm also worried about the male who is allowing things up his rectum. I'm worried for him. Like, sir, that's only for us, sir.
I mean, because toys aren't small, but we're out there.
Yeah, that wouldn't do me off there, too. Oh, my goodness. Florida man arrested for cutting off his Johns at the Taco Bell parking lot because he couldn't afford a taco.
So he created his own taco beach. But he must have went inside and borrowed a hard shell and filled it with his own taco beach.
Oh my God, why would you cut yourself off for that?
First of all, from what you hear sometimes, who knows how many people had those tacos? So my man must have had
God, this is terrible. My goodness. Florida man was arrested after being found with 41 undersized lobster in a bucket, which he peed on four times per police surveillance.
Where he peed on lobster?
Yes, 41 of them in a bucket.
They ate them?
No, he ate his peeing in the bucket. I'm like, I don't understand why this is.
Maybe he's trying to add his own secret sauce to it, his own flavor to it. I don't know. I mean, that's hella salty, I'm sure. So, I mean, that sounds like something that, I don't know. That's how it sounds a certain R&B would do. And, like, David Kelly.
Exactly. Man, oh, man. Ooh-wee, last 5 stories, get people. Last 5 of the year coming up here right now. Florida man arrested after pouring beer in alligator's mouth at Wendy's.
Ha! First of all, I got a problem with that. Never beer. Second of all, he had an alligator in a drive-thru with him?
Yeah, Wendy's, yeah.
And now, is this a crime? Because just to have a live alligator with you, is that a crime in Florida, or is that just Thursday night?
They're not to have had as pets. That's the law.
Ah, okay. Wow, that's a law. Actually, law in Florida? Okay. Yeah, I mean, I've been Wendy's at like 2 a.m. and I've had that urge, but I never had the problem of trying to feed and drink with an alligator in the drive-thru.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay. Florida woman teacher fired and arrested after showing up to work butt naked to teach, saying, quote, she wanted to express herself to the children in her purest form.
How old are these kids?
Third graders.
Oh my goodness. If it's high school, it's a whole different story, a whole different education. But you have a mental issue, the children. Now, it's a lot different. It was like, 7-year-old, 8-year-old kids in the classroom, but these third graders, come on, man. That's a whole new education that should be happening.
Exactly. Get this. Florida woman bus driver arrested after abandoning kids on the bus to go down to the dock to get on a boat to give her side piece some top shelf.
So she got a side piece and a husband, and she has a gig. I've got some crazy stuff. As an educator in the past, dealing with bus drivers. But I will say kudos to Florida for being a little diverse. Now. They have the last two stories.
Yeah. For sure. Looky here, though, bro. We got the last two of the year. You're going to love this. Bandana, MAGA hat wearing Florida man, arrested for trying to rob Bank of America, then getting beat down in Chick-fil-A before he disappeared by a gang of brothers.
Now, they knew who he was? He had the bandana to cover his identity.
Well, they saw the bandana and the MAGA hat, so I'm trying to rob a Chick-fil-A, so they beat him down for just on GP.
Ha. So he had the red hat too, huh?
Yeah, the bandana and the red hat. Yes.
Oh, yeah. See, I try to think myself as a pacifist. If you wear the red hat, I mean, that's on you.
And last word of the year, Bones, is typical Florida man. Florida man is suing McDonald's because he had to pick cheese off his quarter pounders.
Huh. He's suing them for that?
Yes.
If I had for every wrong order to drive through, I'd be a billionaire too. So I kind of understand. But you know what? To have the cheese, first of all, these fast foods are nasty. They don't melt the cheese anyway, so the cheese is probably just cold anyway. Just pull it off.
Exactly.
Yes. All you gotta do is pull it off. I don't understand that.
Yes, crazy. Now, Bone, what is your take on today's Boss Report, the final segment of the year? What is your take on today's report you just heard, man?
It sounds like Florida was doing without me for the last year. So I'm glad to see that nothing has changed much down there in your home state. I like the fact that the boss watched his employee cut off some junk and then stood there and watched himself get cut off too. I'll never understand that thing. If I'm seeing someone, whatever it is, a weed whacker or a knife, and they're cutting off their own junk, I'm not there to watch what happens next.
I'll get out of there. I'm out. Hey, bro, have your fun.
Yeah, I hate saying that, but the boss kind of deserved it. He kind of got what he got, because if you're that stupid, then you kind of deserve what you get.
I'm with you. I'm not watching that go down. I'm going to get out of the way.
Yeah. That's a got-to-go situation. Yeah, definitely.
And you know he's mad at you because you didn't give him a raise. So,
yeah.
How about, hey, contest clues. I may be next.
Because if he's that crazy to pull down his pants and kick over the joke, you got to know that you might be next. But that's a got-to situation.
Yeah. God, that's terrible. Boy, that was terrible. Boy. Bone. This felt great to get you back on the show. Last segment of the year, man. It's to make someone's weekend very happy by hearing your voice. I know that made them very happy.
That's going to be great, because you know what? Instead of game planning on Saturday night, he'll be game planning on so instead of X&O's on the Bucks, he'll be worried about our segment. So that right there is funny.
Exactly. I know he'll be burning about it next Friday. When I see him here in Atlanta, he'll be very upset with me about the segment. He'll be talking junk, and he'll probably text me early in the morning about the segment. He comes on to his phone. He doesn't miss a week. Every week he tells me, yeah, he's still fired. I love it.
Yeah, it's amazing how, there are some days where I get a text from you, and it's 8 in the morning, and he's already texting you and harassing you at 8 in the morning. Do you have a life?
How about watch some film? How do a practice plan? How about do something?
Yeah, you need to watch some film or the box at once. Do that first.
Exactly. Woo-wee, folks. Greg and the Boss Man Show. We'll see you all next year, 2020. This will be year 8 of the Boss Man Show in 2020. Can y'all believe it? See you when I see you. Have a good holiday season. We out. And if you don't know, now you know.